This is a History with God Ministries featuring Frank Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. And now, let's join the host of this broadcast, Frank Sasso.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a History with God Ministries podcast. This is Frank Sasso coming at you from one of our favorite coffee places, and we're sitting on a lake, which is really cool. I'm with my buddies here today. Say hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, you guys got to calm down. You're a little too excited. And we're just going to kind of hang out and just be with the Lord today and hang out with you guys online. And so just enjoy. Dude.
Awesome.
What happened the other day with you with that woman at work?
Well, you know, I work at an engineering facility. You know, we have staff. And Frank, you called me and said, hey, actually, you called my wife. And said,
well, the word was for you. I tried your cell phone
right
first, and then you didn't answer.
Well,
so I called your house thinking maybe you were home that day.
Right.
Yeah.
And then my wife, Ann, picked up the phone and you told her, what'd you tell her?
I said, Ann, listen, you got to get in touch with Alan and give him a message that the Lord said that, well, there was a woman there, Nancy, who he works with, she desperately needs to know that God loves her. And also that she was going through some kind of horrific thing right now, or some horrific event in her life, and she desperately needed to know that God loves her. So let Alan know to talk to Nancy. Now, I don't know who Nancy is. That was what the Lord just told me.
Well, I got out of a meeting. It was like 10 o'clock, and I read my email. I saw that my wife had emailed me saying, whatever it is, you got to call Nancy. And she knows Nancy, so she was like, you know, this is for Nancy, so go talk to her. So I go up to her office and asked if I could talk to her for a minute, and she says, yeah. She kind of looked a little nervous and said, come on in, and made room for me. And I sat down and I said, look, I just have a quick little thing. I said, I get together with a bunch of guys to pray, and we're praying for each other, and it's really cool. I said, but, you know, a really cool thing happened. One of the guys, I think he got a word from God for you. And then her eyes get bigger. She kind of, you know.
Now, what does Nancy do there? Like, what's her position?
She's in human resources.
Oh, so she's in human resources. Yeah. So when you come there as an employee, she has to listen to you.
Yeah, and
how cool is that?
She really thought, I think she thought that I was going to complain or something, that was an issue.
Right.
And so she was like, no, go ahead, you know, tell me whatever. And so I just said, look, I, you know, this guy I pray with, he says he got a word from God, and it's really cool. She's like, oh, okay, well, what is it? I said, well, he said that you're going through a really tough time and that God loves you. And she just kind of stared at me for a minute, and then she kind of looked down and she kind of was getting upset. Now, what, Frank, you didn't know is her son had killed himself a couple weeks ago. And she had some stuff she had to deal with that morning. She said, you know, you just do not understand. You don't understand how bad this morning was and how horrible it was. In fact, you use the word horrible, but she was like so upset. So she just was so overwhelmed. So I kind of, and this is where it was kind of fun, because like as we get more comfortable with who God is and knowing who we are as sons, that word God loves you is so generic. I mean, anybody, it's true for anyone. God loves everyone. He, of course, it's just a good word. You could give that word to anybody. It'd be right on the money.
Yeah, it'd be safe. Yeah.
So, but I took the, like, knowing her experience, and now that the door was open, I said, well, if God says this, it obviously can't be that God who did this to you. And she was like, no, I know that. And I said, well, I know you know that, but just let that sink in, that God didn't do this. God's aware of your situation, and he's watching over you, and he knows that you need a word right now to tell you that he loves you. And she was, like, overwhelmed. She starts crying. She's like, oh, my gosh, you have no idea how big this is. You have no idea what an impact this made on my life.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, it's good. You know, you can keep going with it, because if God's saying this, that means he knows, he's aware, he wants the best for you, he's drawing you closer, you can step into, you can trust him. And she was just overwhelmed, you know, and she sent me an email later, like, you know, you have no idea. She actually got up and gave me a hug and said, you know, I need a hug right now, this is so cool.
Wow.
And she was just really blessed. And what was really cool is I was able to go back to Ann and say, Ann, you know, my wife, like, you know, your faithfulness to just transmit the word, Frank's faithfulness to hear the word and give it, and my faithfulness to go give the word. Like, we're all, like, I didn't get the word, but it was fun to step into that role of, yeah, like, look, this is who God is, and not back, not back,
yeah, you
down,
got to just really minister hands-on.
That's so cool.
That, let me tell you, you know, sometimes, like, God will sometimes give me a word, like, okay, you know, you're, or like a name or something, like, weird, you know, something like that, but let me tell you, this word of God loves you, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that no, there was no word of knowledge except that she told me her name, Nancy. But you knew the woman.
Right.
So it, coming from you, who already knows her and knows what she's going through,
right,
the God loves you word,
yeah,
had even more impact than me who doesn't know her,
right,
and God telling me her name.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not minimizing the awesomeness that God told me someone's name and it hit, and
that's,
it was
awesome,
right on. That's cool. That's really awesome.
Well,
but what's more awesome than that is that he knows exactly the point, the,
amen,
pinnacle, when Nancy needed to know he loves her.
Because it was a tough day. She said it. You just have no idea how tough that morning was. It was really... In fact, Ann said to me, you know, it's important. You need to go right now. I was like, all right, I'm going to go right now. So it was just, the timing was so cool. And so when we're faithful... I just love when we're just faithful to do what he says, there's fruit.
Amen.
There's fruit, and it's real fruit. How could we have known that she was going? I mean, I knew that she was going through a tough time, but I mean, the timing, like, I didn't know today was the day to go give her the word. And what I'm seeing, the more I meet Christians and, you know, we talk to people, that word that God loves you, you know, the word says in John that for God so loved the world that he sent his son, right? But people are everywhere like, well, I don't feel like God loves me. Well, he says he loves you. He said it right there.
Sure.
Yet we say, well, I don't feel it. Well, because we don't feel it, then we think that somehow it doesn't work. It's somehow,
yeah,
it's
that,
not
that
there,
trumps that God,
yeah,
doesn't love
that,
me.
But God, yeah, said, right?
Right.
It's that,
that's
faith,
so cool. And what you guys who are listening don't know is that I think it was the day before, or maybe 2 days before, four of us, Tim, Alan, Jason, and myself, we decided, okay, we're going to get up an extra, we're going to get up at 5 a.m., and we're going to start praying and interceding for Alan, because we feel that God totally has a call on Alan's life, as we all do. He has a call, you know, he's called all of us.
Amen.
But particularly, like, that night was focused kind of like on Alan and some of the stuff he's going through at work, which you will hear on a later broadcast, the testimonies of that. So we all, you know, committed to getting up at 5 a.m., praying for Alan. And, like, I think it was the next day this Nancy word hit.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Right?
That's,
and
right,
then now there's, like, another thing now.
Yeah.
So now tell this story.
So I was so blessed talking to Nancy. It was so awesome. And it just really blessed me to be part of a faith walk like that. It was great. Well, anyway, I'm writing an email to my wife to tell her what had just happened when I get this phone call on my cell phone. And it's this guy, Alan. And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, I'm with the da-da-da-da, you know, insurance company, and I'm going to be handling your claim. And what had happened is, like, about a couple weeks ago, there had been a windstorm that ripped off half our siding on one side of the house. And my wife had gone out and got a quote, and, you know, it was a couple $1,000s. And so, you know, we're going to submit it to the insurance company. And so the adjuster comes out, and he basically didn't even give us enough to cover our deductible. So it was like $800 or something.
Right.
And so my wife was very upset. And I said, well, she's like, that's it. I'm going to go back and complain. I'm going to call up the manager, and I'm going to complain. And I mean, she had told the adjuster that, you know, this isn't acceptable. I'm really not happy with this. This is not going to work for us. And he's like, well, you know, you can call my manager if you want. But, you know, so she's like, well, you know, maybe I'll do that. But she never did. She never did. And we had been talking about it. And it had been like a week. And so as I send the email, I get this phone call. This guy says, hey, I'm your new claim adjuster. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, they just put me on your case. And yeah, I've been looking at your quote here, and yeah, we're just going to pay the whole thing.
Like,
what? Like, are you kidding? I was like, are you
God
kidding
so
me?
Good,
he's like,
right?
Yeah, yeah, it's totally valid. It's totally totally fair, and yeah, we'll just pay the whole thing. I'm like, well, I mean, you still have to pay the deductible, but I mean, it was like...
Yeah, but still, they were going to give you like 30% of it.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
So now it's like the whole thing. In fact, and what my wife wanted to have done was to patch a whole bunch of other... whole bunch of other places on the siding that needed repair. And so it was like, it was a real breakthrough blessing. Well, it turns out, he says to me, hey, what was up with that other adjuster? And I said, what do you mean? He goes, that quote he sent you is crazy. And I said, well, I don't know. He's like, yeah, well, all right, whatever. I'm going to send you my email, and you know, we'll work out how we're going to send you the check. And so just the other day, I said to my wife, I'm like, hey, did we ever get an email from that guy? And she's like, no, never got the email. She goes, but I just got the check in the mail.
Wow.
So like, cool. I mean, it's incredible. Well, it turns out my wife never complained. So how did he know? I mean, it's God. It's just so.
So she never called.
Never called, never complained. Oh, they just did this on their own. I mean, I've never heard that happening. So prayer is effective, powerful.
Amen. Jason, what's going on with you, bro? How was your week? What's God doing this week? What did he do this week so far? Well, last week.
He's making me feel uncomfortable with a microphone. That's one
thing. Well, here's how you get over that.
Amen. Prayer. Driving all throughout here. And I'm about to settle for a parking space, but then it says you can only park here 20 minutes. I'm like, and then in bank parking, I'm like, I'm not a bank employee. My God, I have a right to a good parking space.
Amen.
I drove out, and it's right here. It was boom. Right there here in Starbucks for me. But just little, I mean, you call them like little things like that, but I don't see them as little things.
Oh, amen.
There's nothing little about him, man. Like, just happen. Like today, my friend Chuck, who I'm always talking to, my guy I work with, yesterday I had kind of a rough day, and he was praying for me and kind of got me through it, but he was having a tough time today. And his one class, his last class of the day, especially, it's a tough time. He's got like a bunch of knuckleheads in there that know how to be respectful.
So he's a teacher too.
He's a teacher too. So he's mainly inclusion. So he's usually with like a partner. So you know, he said, oh, I'm just dreading that 4 o'clock. And so you know, like always, like, yo, I'll pray for you. I'll keep you in prayer. And so when I prayed specifically. I'm like, God, let it be the best class he's ever had. I saw him at the end of the day. I'm like, all right, how'd it go? How was 4 o'clock? He's like, it's actually great. It's actually the best class I've ever had with this fourth block class.
Amen.
We had a sub that was in there, and he just like has his BS in math. So he was like taking care of all the math. I was taking care of all the discipline. We had made problems. It was great.
Wow. Wow. That's awesome.
The prayers of Jason availeth much.
Amen.
They do.
You know what else? Like, I was watching part of the Sid Roth yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw it.
I love that show.
I like that show too.
That guy's great.
Oh, yeah.
Very
the
cool.
The lady was on yesterday. I think it was an employee, so it was kind of a different show. But so Sid was talking to himself, and what he was saying, and this is, I've only done it a couple times now, but it's definitely going to be part of my repertoire. The love verse. Everybody knows the love verse. The 1 Corinthians 13.
First Corinthians 4 13.
8. He was talking about, and this was just a revelation to me, he was talking about how, I guess in Romans 5:5,
okay.
It says something about, you know, God's love has been spread abroad in our hearts. So God's love is in us.
Right.
So he was talking about how he basically prays this over himself, the love verse in Corinthians, where he doesn't use the word love. He says, I suffer long. I am kind. I do not envy. I do not parade myself. I'm not puffed up. I do not behave rudely. I do not seek my own. I am not provoked. I think no evil. I do not rejoice in iniquity, but I rejoice in the truth. I bear all things. I believe all things. I hope all things. I endure all things. I never fail.
Amen.
But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there's knowledge, it will vanish away. I am love, basically. So
he personalized it and identified himself as love.
Yes. So that's been cool. And I told you how, you told me the dream.
The dream you had.
Yeah, that it was Luke 18:1. Men ought always to pray and...
That's right.
Not give up, basically. So I had a dream, and in the dream, my brother was calling down. We were back in our house we grew up in. My brother was calling down to me, saying, hey, Jason, there's somebody on the phone for you. Somebody on the phone. And he somehow hit the hold button, which seemed weird, because usually just, you know, you hold your hand over the talking part.
Right,
and you just say,
But he hit hold, so it couldn't be heard.
So I'm trying to pick up the phone, and instead of hitting, there was an accept button. Instead of hitting accept, I hit hold by accident, and I basically hung up the call by accident.
Okay.
But I had this sense that it was just like it's an important call.
Right.
And so when I woke up, it was just kind of troubling me. It was like, who's on the phone? Who's on the phone? So as I was praying, asking for the interpretation, God told me it was Frank. It was you on the phone. So I called you, left a message, and you got back to me later, and you said it was like, there's a line in the Bible that says something like, men aren't always to pray. Men ought always to pray.
Right, that's what it was.
But anyway, Luke 18:1, so I said, men aren't always to pray. And just never give up, something like that.
Never give up, cave in, break down, and quit.
Yeah. So, and then as I was looking at the scripture, I'm like, God, like, I still don't get it. You know, what's going on? And then he brought back to my memory, the part I was missing was the part that it was my brother that was, like, the one that was calling down, saying there was someone on the phone.
Right.
So right away it just made sense. Like, you know, he's somebody that he's not saved. You know, he's somebody that, like, I used to pray for a lot and then kind of did,
right,
I don't say give up, but like just kind of, right, it was one of those things like, that's, yeah, in your hands. Like,
yeah,
you know, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it. But
it's kind of wrote it off.
Yeah, like, it's up to you, God. You'll do it one day when, you, right, when you're good and ready. But yeah, so it made me feel like, you know, I can't give up on that. And it's cool. Like, just with all these little things that are happening, how prayer works, I know it's going to happen.
Amen.
It's cool. It's like, and I heard a message you did. It was like on hope and faith, and how, like, you have faith in God, you have hope in an outcome.
Right.
And I was thinking about today how it was before when I would pray, it was like, ooh, I hope this works. Oh, I hope he's going to get saved. Oh, I hope.
Yeah.
I hope. But there was no real confidence there. It was just like that kind of like worldly hope.
But, exactly.
Now, like, I know it's going to happen.
That's
it's
it.
Like, I know, like, he, like, I've been telling my wife a few times, like, he's like, doesn't know it even yet, but he's like, his spirit is like crying out to know God, and he doesn't even know it yet. It's going to happen.
Amen.
It's awesome.
Amen.
It's
what to, man. And God's waiting for someone to stand up and knowing who they are and declare and decree and start prophesying, start praying with absolute assurance. Not,
that's
God,
right,
I hope this is your will.
You,
right,
know it's his will.
Yeah. It's God's will that all men be saved. Amen. So you're never wrong to stand in that place. And we're, yeah, waiting for God to move, and God's waiting for us to move. We're the move of God.
Yeah.
Right? We don't wait and hope. I mean, we're hoping, but I mean, it's hope based on what we know who he is.
Yeah, well, you, it's like the faith I have that it's going to happen is what gives me the hope.
Amen.
You know?
Right, and hope is what makes you do crazy things, which is a good, in God.
Yeah.
Which is a cool thing.
Yeah.
Like, hope is what makes you, like, get on an elevator, a packed elevator, you get on, and as soon as the doors close, you turn around and you face everybody. That's, you know, it makes you do crazy things like that. You know what I mean? And stand up like Alan's
saying.
You're
the only one who does that, Frank.
Maybe. I don't know. I think I'm going to provoke you to spiritual jealousy, and next time you're on an elevator. Matter of fact, I'm going to prophesy that right now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I prophesy that Alan's standing on a crowded elevator and start preaching the gospel to a stuck elevator between two floors.
Man,
that happened today. Oh, was a crowd elevator?
No, it wasn't crowded. It was just me and one guy. Yes. This happened today. I was at work. I just love this. This is just, God is just, I'm on an elevator. I was at work and I'm walking down a hallway to an elevator. And I see this guy, he starts walking with me. And I said, hey, how you doing, man? I talk to everybody, you know. And I talk to them as if they already know the Lord. Like, I give them the benefit of the doubt. Because if they don't, we'll take care of that later, you know. So I said, how you doing, man? He goes, oh, you know, it's Tuesday. You know, I can't wait till Friday. And I said, what's so special about Friday, you know? He goes, well, you know, three-day weekend, you know? I don't have to be here. I said, well, do you not like working here? And he goes, nah, it stinks working here, you know? I mean, it pays the bills, but it's, you know, I don't like working here. I said, well, why don't you quit? He said, well, what do you want me to do? It's my job. I can't quit. You know, it's like one of those things. So as we get on the elevator, I said to him, I said, you know, if I may, I said, you know, I think the reason that you look forward to the weekend so much and or Friday so much or whatever is because I dare say that you're not experiencing the power of God in your life. I said, because if you were, every day would be filled with intrigue and wonder and suspense and excitement. And, you know, so we get on the elevator and he pushes the button and he goes, what are you, a religious fanatic? And I said, well, I'm just a follower of Jesus Christ. Why, do you know him? And he goes, yeah, oh yeah, he's a good friend of mine, like really sarcastic. So he pushes the button, the doors close, we start going up, the elevator stops. And like the little emergency light things go on, and like for a second in my head I'm like, uh oh, you know. I'm like, what is this? What's going on? I heard about this happening, but this is the first time it's happened to me, you know. I'm caught in an elevator, what's gonna happen? You ever see the movie Speed with Keanu Reeves and like, and I had this vision of Keanu Reeves opening up the hatch and like, take my hand, you know, like only like a split second. So he goes, oh great, I'm stuck on an elevator with a Jesus nut, you know, he says to me. He says, this is just really great. I said, it is great, actually. I said, it's great for you, and it's great for me. And he's like, oh, man. He just wants to get out of the elevator. Because I have, like, this cart, you know, with mail in it. Like, I don't, you know, it's like, I just look a little like, oh, this guy, you know. That guy, you know what I mean? I'm not like one of these top high-power executive types where he wouldn't mind. He would probably have to kiss up to me a little bit, you know. But, you know, I work with the mail services. So I said to him, I said, dude, this is what I'm talking about, man. See the suspense. Are we going to get out of here? You know, that kind of thing. You know? So the doors finally, you know, start moving. I'm sorry, the elevator starts moving.
doors open up, and I'm like, see? See what I mean, man? See what I mean? And he, so we get off the elevator, and he says, yeah, actually, I wasn't that, well, I actually wasn't so bad. You're pretty cool. You're all right. Yeah, he's giving me his, like, seal of approval. So I said, hey, you're pretty cool, too. I said, you know what? Jesus loves you. I was just being very adamant with that. Jesus loves you. And we're like, okay, cool, bye, bye, bye. Okay, we leave. Now, a few hours go by, and I'm ready to go to lunch. So as I'm walking my friend, my buddy, we're going to lunch. We see each other, right? And he goes, hey. And he pulls me over to him. He says to me, he goes, listen, I was thinking a lot about what you said. That was pretty gutsy, saying that I need excitement in my life. The truth is, I do, he says. And then the best part, what every Christian wants to hear when you're sharing with you, when you're sharing your faith, the best part, he says to me, what do I need to do to know God like you? I was like, oh. I said, I can introduce you to him right now. He repeated after me. He said the prayer of salvation. He accepted Jesus into his life. In and of itself, that's awesome. You know what? They're having a party in heaven. But that's not the goal. The goal is not to get people saved from going to hell. The goal is to save people's lives. And how you do that is by getting them discipled, getting them into the Word of God. Mm. So what was really an encouragement for me is that he said, a friend of mine has been talking to me about the Lord. And I'm going to go to church with him on Sunday. And he's going to this church that I know preaches the uncompromised Word of God, preaches righteousness, authority. I mean, preaches the full gospel. And he's going to get exactly what he needs at this church. And it just turns out that my parents are actually starting to go to this church now too, which was really cool.
That's
awesome. So
that's awesome.
God is waiting to use us. Jason, if there's one person I know who knows who they are in the Lord, it's Jason. He knows he's the righteousness of God. So, Alan, when you were saying before about God's looking for people to step up,
amen,
in confidence,
amen.
That's why the Bible says don't cast away your confidence, because it's with your confidence that it brings great recompense of reward. Don't chuck it away. Moses was confident. All he had covering him was the blood of goats. He got up in God's face, right,
Alan?
And he says, God says, I'm a repentant, I even made man. I'm going to wipe them all out. And Moses was like, no, you won't. He got up in God's face. He said, you have a blood, you have a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you will not wipe them out. You have over the blood of goats. Like he had a right.
Yeah.
And yet we have the blood of Jesus, and we freak out with this, maybe what somebody may think if we say Jesus.
Right.
It's like, oh, everybody believes in God. The minute you mention Jesus, you're a freak. What is that all about? So
that's true.
I for one, am not going to cast away my confidence.
Right. Amen. 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 I'm just seeing how I'm hearing it more and more, but I'm seeing it now too, that, you know, we're called, we are the church. We don't go to church to go to church.
Right.
You go there to go here, right? You go to church to go out to be the church.
You go to the building,
yeah,
to get what you need to come out into the battlefield to be church.
To be the righteousness of God, to go out into the world, to be in... I mean, a lot of people complain to me about their job and like, oh my gosh, things are so hard. Well, then you're in a good spot. Then you're supposed to be there, you know? Displaying who God is. Actually.
What does that mean to you, Alan? Like, when you say, I'm the righteousness of God, what is that? When someone says that to you, I'm the righteousness of God, what does that mean to you?
Well, it's like this word that Jason gave me last week when he was in prayer and praying in tongues and said, Lord, I want to know what... And he's doing that a lot for you, it seems like, you know. We go through seasons, and so when God starts to open something up, and it seems like Jason's getting words, he's praying in the Spirit, and then ask for the interpretation, and God's giving it to you, and it's just flowing out. One of the things he said is, here's Alan, he's on the podium with the gold medal, and he's up there on the stage, and I'm like, that's really cool, that sounds really cool, and if you know who you are, you know who God is, you can receive that. But a lot of people would say, oh, come on, that's not me. I mean, that's fun to think about, but that's really not me. And I could feel my heart starting to go there. And the Lord's like, no, that's how I see you. And I was like, wow, that's kind of cool, Lord. And so as you ponder that, I'm like, the Lord's like, you know why that's why I see you? Because when I look at you, all I see is Jesus.
Amen.
And he's my champion.
That's it.
And that's who I see in you. And see, because we're not called just to be saved to go to heaven.
Right.
We're called to become like him, created in his image.
That's it.
To become like him.
to represent who Jesus is.
Represent. I love that. Represent. My wife has a great line. She goes, you know, Jesus didn't die on a cross to make you safe. He died on a cross to make you dangerous.
Amen.
You know?
Well, the cross, the cross didn't reveal our sin. We get so hung up on sin.
We do.
The cross reveals our value to God to restore us back to that place where we came, where we fell from, because we were created in His image.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on Contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries, seeing, hearing, remembering. Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Until next time, stay in the blessing.